Good morning, everyone. I certainly want to, well, the sermon is about being a good steward. And without a doubt, I think that everyone here has seen that we have a lot of people that were good stewards today, and that they used the talents that God gave them to be part of this message today. So I want to thank you all. Thank you all very much. Let me start with prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I ask that the message that's before us today would be your message, that the words would be yours. Please give me that servant heart, Father, that I can just be a tool for you, and that the message that you have for us today will ring true to our ears and ring like a beautiful sound. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So, being the good steward. What did I do? It is important that we understand and appreciate not only the value of being chosen to be a steward for God, but the importance of cultivating that. I hope that the message tells you today, reminds you that you just can't sit there and just let it happen. You have to be engaged, and you have to make yourself available. When I use the word steward, I also want you to think of the word as servant as well, because the two words are going to work interchangeably. The scripture reading came out of a series of verses known as the parable of the talents. Three men are given different amounts of monies, and the monies are afforded them in accordance to their talents and their gifts and their abilities that they already had. The master gives these men these three monies and tells these men that he is going to go away for a while. And while he is away, he wants these men to handle these funds for him. We all know the story. Two of the men take the money, they invest it, they work it, and they increase it. And when the master returns, they receive praise, they receive a reward for their stewardship. But there is that third person. That third man took that money, we know, and he buried it, doing nothing with it. And buried is a metaphor. It didn't necessarily, when we speak today, we're not talking about going to your yard and digging up a hole and putting something in a can. Burying it is not cultivating. It's not using it. It's not putting it into action. That man was admonished, and he had the money actually taken from him because he chose not to care for that which was entrusted. As part of God's children, as part of God's family, we are given wonderful things. Every person in this room, and that is one thing we all have in common, we all have gifts. We all have talents, and we all have opportunities. We've been blessed with the understanding of Scripture. We all have a lot in common, other than the fact that we chose to worship today. It is our duty. No, not our duty. It's our obligation to use the talents to increase in everything God gives us. I ask this, however. What does a good servant, what does a good steward look or act like? How would you spot that person? The scripture tells us that we are not to judge anyone's heart. We can't discern their relationship with God. However, we should be able, should we not, to look at a person and seeing if their demeanor, their presence, to see if this person is working for God. We should be able to see that. Whether they're using their talents and their gifts for those in the church, their family, their community. The message I offer today is about what does it mean to be the best steward? What is expected of us is a total commitment to God. We must understand that the gifts that were given to us from God, they were a blessing, and they need not be squandered. Let me tell you a story that I think will give you a very clear idea of what I'm meaning about being prepared to be a good steward. Most of you have flown on a plane, right? Most of us have all been on a plane, and at the beginning of the flight, the flight attendant stands up in front of you, and they're giving you specific instructions of these are the exits that you're going to use and such like that. They also cover, you know, where you'd find flotation devices and such like that. They show you how to put your seat belts together. They also cover the oxygen mask that drops down in the event of cabin pressure failure and the loss of oxygen, doesn't it? They always cover that. Now, what are the instructions given to you as a passenger concerning the oxygen mask in the case that you are with an infant or a minor? Put your mask on first. Put your mask on first. This advice is necessary for you as adults so that you don't succumb to blackout while you're trying to assist this infant or child, because you don't know how this child's going to react. They could be fighting and such like that, and while you're trying to help that child, you could succumb to asphyxiation because you have not put your mask on first. That is why it's necessary that as a good steward for God, we must allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us to better serve God and serve those that He places around us. As a steward of God, we have a responsibility to have ourselves properly prepared and ready to do the Lord's work when He calls. We have an obligation to conduct ourselves on earth in a manner that puts us in the best position to serve and to assist those that are in need around us. I keep saying around us. A steward is responsible. God puts us in a position where we are supposed to be assisting those around us. Now, I'm certain that I'm the only one in this church that as a young person may have stayed out a little too late at night. I'm sure I'm the only one that sometimes maybe found myself still out as the sun was rising. I'm sure none of you fine people ever did that. But for me in my youth, there were times that I found myself out too late and should have been home resting. As a young man, between school and work, there were times that I did not go to school or work ready and prepared to be the best person I could be because I had not prepared myself. I had not put myself in the best position. Staying out with a little bitty rest and a little bit of time taking care of my business, as far as my employer, technically I was stealing from him or her when I went to work, not rested, not prepared, not ready to go. As we grow in age and in our understanding of our responsibilities to those around us, we begin to take better care of ourselves and better care of the things that we are charged with. At least we should. We can now understand and appreciate the importance of taking care of our house that we may better serve those that are in our house. If we're to keep ourselves ready, prepared to serve, we should follow the Master's wishes. Should we not be keeping His laws, God's laws? And First John. Well, I'll just read it. Okay. 1 John, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Man hears God. One obeys, one does not. One is a good steward, making themselves available and ready for service. One is a poor servant, a poor steward, and he loses his life and therefore cannot serve. God is expecting that we who call ourselves children of God not just give mouth service, but to obey and answer his call. We must be diligent in our daily lives in accordance to his will and accordance to his instructions. The good steward does not focus on, we are not to be focusing on accumulating things while we are here on earth. The good steward wishes only to serve the master, and knowing that God is so good, we have trust that he will provide us with everything we need. I'm trying to find Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Did I? Well, I apologize. I'm a knucklehead. But anyway, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy, where the thieves do not break in and steal, where your treasure is, where your heart may be also. Scripture never tells us that it's wrong to be rich or amass wealth. Instead, in these verses, Jesus warns us that we have to keep it all in perspective. Money has great value because it can do great things and great good in the hands of God's people. It is food for the hungry. It is drink for the thirsty. It's clothing for the naked. It could be a defense for the oppressed and a means of help for the sick, if it's used in the service of God. As the good steward, we need to honor the Lord. The book of Proverbs is not so much of a book of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs as it's more about wisdom and foolishness. As one reads through the book of Proverbs, one will see the benefits of wisdom and the pitfalls of foolishness. That's why tithing is so important. As being a good steward of God, we cannot look at our blessings as they belong to us. No, they belong to God first. And as we tithe accordingly, we are assured that the balance that we have left will buy more than what the original whole was. That's the promise. The Lord does not teach us to spend on ourselves and bring remnants to him. Let God's portion be first set aside. How can we be the best stewards for God when we're serving other masters? Would y'all help me find Proverbs 22:7, that slide? Do I have that? Would you hit on that, please? Am I finding it? No. Proverbs 22:7. Thank you. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. The Bible is very clear about concerning debt and how it can and will affect us. Now, I'm in no way inferring that I've handled my finances better than anyone else. I certainly wouldn't be an author of a book of how to handle your finances, by no means. Far from it. How difficult is it these days to not have any debt? How difficult is it to get started in life without incurring debt? What I can say from experience is that as I've been able to reduce or eliminate debts, I have become a very different person. I have been blessed and to be able to discharge some debts. I've been able to serve God so much more so than I did when I was so heavily indebted. In fact, while in debt at times, I think I made very poor choices that I'm not proud of at all today. The Bible discourages debt. There are at least 26 references to debt in the Bible, and none of them are good. All are negative. The Bible does not say it's a sin to borrow money, but it does talk about the often bad consequences that follow. There are so many reasons that a person may get themselves so upside down financially: ignorance of finances, greed, difficulty due to misfortune, a loss of job, poor health. Helping those that we love can lead us into financial hardships. No matter the reason, whether it's our fault or not, God is not going to leave us alone. That's not what He wants for us. That's not what He wants for you. He only wants you to have just one master, though. And in our financial choices that we make, we are putting other masters between He and us. We're serving other people because of the choices that we're making. And God wants to eliminate those obstacles because He wants it to be just you and Him. Put this as a priority in prayer, to remove whatever it is that you're putting between God and you when it comes to finances. Now, there are three steps. There are three steps. Do I have the steps up there? Steps 1, 2, and 3, are they in there? Would you hit step 1? Thank you. In the Sabbath School Quarterly of this quarter, they covered this. Here's a condensed form in the three steps offered on a biblical view on how to escape the bondage of debt and open your heart to one master. Declare a moratorium on additional debt. No more credit card spending. If you don't borrow money, you can't get into more debt. Make a covenant with God that from this point forward, as He blesses, you will pay off your debt as quickly as possible. When God blesses you financially, you use that money to reduce the debt. Don't go out and purchase more. I'm guilty of that. I was guilty of that some years ago. I asked for help. He gave me help. And I turned around being a very poor steward and took that money instead of reducing those obstacles. I increased them. And this is the third one, is a hands-on practical approach. Make a list of your debts from the greatest to the least and start working on that least, that smallest amount, and pay on it as much as you can until you can get that paid off, and then write it off of that list. And you keep doing that. You keep praying to God about this and let Him handle these finances for you. And before you know it, you're able to scratch off all these debts, moving up to the greatest. And when you eventually look at it, the top one, the greatest one, isn't so great anymore because you know God has helped you with all the others. Is there a Hebrews 13:5? For some reason, the clicker is just jumping, whatever. Give me Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Hear me. Let your conduct be without covetousness with such things as you have. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If there's any message for you today, it is maybe just this one scripture. James 1:27. James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and His Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. Amen. As we focus our attention on those that are in need, it is more likely that we will spend less time looking at ourselves and our need and more time looking at what others need. You want to get out of trouble making poor choices? Start worrying about somebody else's care and welfare. You'll find out that your troubles really aren't so bad. You come out there with us on the third Sabbath after church and you hand bottled water out and you hand toiletries out to some people, you realize your issues are not issues. They were obstacles. They're not issues. But besides providing clothing, food, and shelter to the poor in distress, just as importantly is providing God's message. You may go out to the homeless and hand them a bag of items that will eventually be consumed, but a kind word, a word of encouragement, a recognition of them as a person will last far longer than that bag that you handed to them with the toiletries and such. A moment offering prayer may last them forever. Proverbs 28, 27. Can you find it? Proverbs 28, thank you. He who gives the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes may have many curses. Just by doing our master's will, by being the good steward, and also receiving God's blessings, by doing this as a steward for God, we need to plan for success. The question is, what do we determine as successful? Is it the nice things that we possess that the neighbors see, the nice home, the nice car? Is that the Wave Runner? I'm not saying anything bad about a Wave Runner. But that doesn't measure our success. That doesn't measure how much God loves us. Is it a position of authority? Or do you have a position in an office building or a plant where when you call, people respond to your call? Many of God's stewards have position of authority. The question is, what is done with that position? How are you influencing those around you? Are you just going to work? Are you taking advantage of this as an opportunity to share your faith? Again, I ask, how do we define success? How do we find success? The story of Joseph in Egypt, probably one of the greatest success stories, right? Prison to palace. Joseph, prison to palace. How about John the Baptist? Prison to tomb. Prison to tomb. Jesus tells us the greatest prophet that ever lived was John the Baptist. Prison to tomb. Both men were successful as they served the Lord with all their hearts. Both achieved what was asked of them. Their paths could not have been more different, but their relationship with God was the same. Matthew 6:33, please. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. We must always be guarded in our attitude concerning our successes. For if we're honest with ourselves, those successes are not of our own doing, but the grace of God, the patience of God, the blessings from God. When we're at work, we're called to work with integrity. God calls his children to a higher standard, and both work, school, and life. The standard is written in your hearts and in your minds and should be reflected in our character. Paul wrote in Colossians, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. A good name is chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than riches and gold. You'll find that in Proverbs. There are stories in the Bible that discuss how an employer considered him blessed by God because he had a Christian employee. He had a believer as an employee. As we strive to be the best stewards of God, we need to understand we must appreciate the blessings, the abilities that we've been given and providing for our family, our church, our community. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Say it again. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Have fun, the glory of God. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't address all of us seasoned people here today. You young folks, I talked to y'all about, you know, y'all've got some, but now let me talk to some of us as old folks here. Some of the more experienced. In Luke 12, 16 through 21, Jesus gives us the parable of the rich fool. Though the message is much broader than this, one can argue that this was a story that Jesus told about what not to do in retirement. If a person is quitting work to spend his or her accumulated assets on themselves, should we not take this story to heart? The problem is not working hard or accumulating wealth as one gets older. The problem is the attitude toward it. Jesus' words, take ease, eat, drink, and be merry, is found in Luke 12, 18. It's okay to play golf on a beautiful Sunday morning as the chipmunks are running around and the deer is just right off the fairway. It's okay to take your family to the beach and have a spend the day on with the sand and the surf in a rental cabin. It's okay. However, if we think of only our needs and head and think of not think of others and not think of the will of God in the latter year of our lives, we could be following the example of the rich fool. We're storing up things that have no value. We're using up resources that he gave us for something else. The Gospel of Matthew 24:44-46 counsels this. To those that are waiting upon Jesus for his second coming, not just watch, but to continue working as well. As we get older, us seasoned people, we may not go to work, but we go to work every day. We may not punch a clock, and we may just change CEOs of the company. Now it's just God's CEO. But every day, we need to be working, not just sitting back and piddling around waiting for tomorrow to come. We must be prepared to serve. We have an obligation to be ready whenever God calls us, mind and body. No one ever trusted God in vain. Whenever we do battle, whenever we serve the Lord, prepare yourself and prepare well. So to close this message, speaking of battle, there's a quotation attributed to a British ruler, Oliver Cromwell, early 1600s, who before the battle said to his army, "Put your trust in God, my boys, and keep your powder dry." He was saying, do all that you can to succeed, but in the end, realize only God can give you victory. One of the greatest opportunities given to man to be a servant, a steward to Jesus, was missed. This opportunity came in the upper room at the last Passover. There was an opportunity to serve Jesus in the washing of his feet. The reason the opportunity was missed was mostly because of pride. No one wanted to bend down in front of their peers and wash somebody else's feet. And in no small part, the unwillingness to move where they were because everybody wanted to be near Jesus. Everybody wanted to be in perceived in a position of authority. They had all put themselves as close as they could to him. And if they were going to wash his feet, they were going to lose their spot. What better opportunity to serve our Lord and Savior the final time was missed. Are we allowing our pride, our worldly desires, to keep us from the feet of Jesus today? Are we taking every opportunity to serve those that Jesus served? Have we placed our oxygen mask on first before we prepared to help someone else? What have you placed between true service of God? What's keeping you from being the best steward you can be? Have we buried the blessings and the talents that God has given us, and now upon his return, we are found wanting because we chose to bury the things that God gave us to make us great servants, to be good stewards? We have stuck it in our backyard and chose not to use them? Let me close with this. Think upon heavenly things before worldly things, as we wait for the return of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen.